Welcome to today's podcast. This is the 29th in the series titled Designed for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from Pastor Jim Irwin's Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Pastor Jim will be looking at how every member is to be a minister. This week's message is titled, Extend the Kingdom.
If you have your bulletin in hand, why don't you turn to the inside cover as we finish our reintroduction to our 2020 vision. Called it, as we launched this fall, the 2020 Jump Start. Our premise is that we as a church aspire to be a place where every member is a minister. Who's not impressed by the worldwide outreach of one of the top grossing companies of all times? And yet, many are unfamiliar with its humble beginning. Dates back to 1886, where chemist John Pemberton invented a tonic that could be used to treat medical illnesses, or so he thought. And the name for this tonic came from the two original ingredients. Perhaps you've heard of it. The first ingredient was the extract of coca leaves, and so he called it coca. The second ingredient was an extract from the cola leaves, and he called it Coca-Cola. The combination of coca, cocaine, and cola, caffeine. There were actually two other C's that were added, caramel coloration and carbonation. There was a businessman at that time, an entrepreneur named Asa Candler, that saw the opportunity to expand the product from the medical industry to the general public. And so he advertised it back then as, of all things, a soft drink. And so they began the industry, which became the dominant world industry of all soft drinks of all time. Today sold in some 195 countries. Estimated that 1.8 billion people drink a Coke a day around the world. A little blast from the past here. See who of you remembers the 1971 commercial. And it was at that time that they were doing massive expansion throughout the nations, Coca-Cola Company. And the theme of the commercial was, buy the world a Coke. Anybody remember that one? I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. That's the first line, you got that one. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company. That's the real thing. What is? Coke is the way it should be. Coca-Cola. How many of you started drinking Coca-Cola after you saw that ad? Incidentally, I should announce that they did take they never took the caffeine out of it, but they did take the cocaine out of Coke. About 100 years ago, they figured, maybe not. But you're glad for that. Coca-Cola. You know, there's another industry that arrived far before Coca-Cola in this world, some 20 centuries ago. It actually launched, in some senses, humbly, like Coca-Cola, but it became a worldwide movement. The product was not a commodity but a concept, was a person rather than a product that was promoted. It was a man who came claiming to be a king from heaven and that he was instilling on earth his kingdom. And that movement itself has saturated the world times over throughout the nations to the point where at any given moment, not 1.5, but some 3+ billion inhabitants of earth name the name of Jesus Christ. He's the real thing, I'd like to suggest. I don't know what you think about Coke. But what the world needs today, rather than just a soft drink, is a Savior. And it's Jesus Christ. One of Jesus' premises was that he, in leaving, was going to transfer responsibility for his movement to his followers. The closest disciples known, or followers known as disciples. And that those disciples were to go into all the world, so that every tribe, nation, language, and people would have the message of salvation, extracted not from leaves or herbs, but from the life of the Son of God, salvation eternally. Jesus commended to his disciples his kingdom and commissioned them to extend it. That's our third premise. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, we're talking about being a church where every member is a minister. I suggested we need to start by living the life. From there, we need to be the church corporately. But then throughout the week, we need to be about the kingdom work, extending the influence of Christ, an extension of God through us to others. That is a first priority. You know, one of the hardest things, ask any leader, that they do as leaders is try to get people to do things. Now, that's difficult, but even harder than that is to get people to do the right things. But even harder than that is getting people to do the right things in the right order. Jesus tells us in his word, first things first. Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. You got your Bible and want a page over there? We'll catch a couple of these verses. There's quite a few this morning. I'll highlight them, but I may have you look a few up. Matthew 6 and the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus admonishes his disciples, his followers, over and over, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. He is addressing the issue of anxiety, and he's telling them there's no longer any need for worry. If you're part of his kingdom, if you're one of his followers, Matthew 6 and verse 33, he tells them, first, the kingdom of God. It is of first import for every follower of his. Put first God's kingdom and his righteousness, his right way of doing things. And he promises at that point, here's where the anxiety can bleed off for you and I. And all these things, boy, if you read prior in the chapter, he's talking about the basic necessities of life, food and clothing, shelter. In our society, transport, work would be part of that. And he says, we'll get you, we've got you covered. If you'll put God's reign, his rule in your life first, all these other things will be added to you as well. In that same chapter, he tells his disciples to pray first for the kingdom. You know the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It opens addressing God and acknowledging his greatness. He's heavenly. He's holy. And then it asks the first request. What is it? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where?
On
on earth as it is in heaven. Where God's will is done, in so many words, his kingdom comes, Jesus tells us. Seek first. Pray first for the kingdom of God, his reign or rule in the lives of men. Now, in terms of kingdoms, the requisite is a king, isn't it? And Jesus aspires to be that person in your life and mine. We call it Lord, or the Lordship of Christ, his Lordship. But also a king needs a domain to rule over. And in this case, it's personalized. God is looking to rule over the domain of your heart, of your life. And it's somewhat mysterious, the idea. In fact, let me illustrate it from some passages in Scripture here. What does this kingdom look like? Well, Jesus tells us in parables, it's like a seed. It looks like a seed that's planted in the ground. And time again, he tells different parables about a sower sowing seeds. And it's sprouting and growing. You know, there's great potential in a seed. It has to be an heirloom seed, not a hybrid seed, because you can't take the seeds of many hybrids and plant them and grow a new generation. But you can with the heirloom vegetables or plants. And if you find that seed and you plant it, that the potential is forever. It can reproduce itself unending, generations to come. Eternal ramifications, the kingdom. It's seed-like. It's powerful is another example. Apostle Paul tells us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but power. It's truth actualized. It's more than an idea. It's impact. It's a force, a living force, the kingdom of God. It's powerful. How powerful, Paul tells us, the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is God's salvation to everyone who believes. It'll eternally save anyone from anything who will put their trust in him. Where does that occur? Jesus says in Luke 17, the kingdom of God does not come by careful observation. It's not like you can see it coming. Even though, remember the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they put him on a donkey. They stood out before him with cloaks and they lauded him as king coming into Jerusalem. That was the concept of the kingdom for the Jews. They were starkly disappointed, weren't they? Because he did not do politically what they expected him to do. And Jesus explains, that's not the gist of the kingdom. The kingdom does not come by careful observation because the kingdom of God is where? Where is it located? Within. It's an internal kingdom, like that seed planted in the hearts of men and women internally. It's an in thing. For that reason, the writer of Hebrews says it's the word of God. It's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates into the innermost being of a person. That's how God's kingdom operates. I think there are outward expressions, no doubt. In fact, I think there are great political implications, and we have yet to see the fullness of God's kingdom on earth. It's coming. That was not his intention with Jesus. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's spiritual. You got your Bible, why don't you turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 14 there, Romans 14. Paul, in this case, is settling a debate. If you read the whole chapter there's Jewish and Gentile Christians worshiping in Rome together. And there's issues in this church and those churches of that day as to the Old Testament and the New Covenant as Jesus promoted it with his death. And what about all the Old Testament rituals? In this case, he's dealing with food. Clean and unclean food, Romans 14, along with a couple of other things, Sabbath days and the debate that was ensuing there. He's answering that question. But he reminds them there in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not what you eat and drink that makes you a Christian, so to speak. But rather, notice the spiritual, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's spiritual, the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. And those three are in league, I think, righteousness, peace, and joy. God says it's doing right, it's being right with Him and right with others. As a result, the result and effect is peace. I cannot be at peace within if there's conflict without. If I'm not right with God or right with my neighbor, family, whoever it might be. Impossible. And peace, the result and effect is joy. You cannot be joyous if you're not at peace. You cannot be peaceful if you're not in right relationship with God and others. The kingdom of God. And he says the impetus, the dynamic is the Spirit who promotes and produces that within. It's seed-like, it's powerful, it's internal, it's spiritual, it's universal. Jesus said, in this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world, and then what? The end will come. Boy, like Coca-Cola, it's been disseminated throughout the nations, hasn't it? And we're not far from the day when, in every language, as Scripture declares, they will name the name of Jesus in that language. It's universal. However, let me suggest to you that it's also exclusive. That doesn't seem to jive, does it? Because Jesus tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Wait a minute. I thought you said it's for everyone. It is. But people exclude themselves from participation in the kingdom. It happens all the time. Remember the parable of the great banquet? And the master sends out his servants to gather up the people for this banquet. And one by one, the people excuse themselves. Love to go. Boy, it sounds like a good time. But seek first the kingdom? Boy, not in their case. They had all kinds of other things that they were seeking after first. And they excluded themselves from participating in the kingdom. Sin is oftentimes an excluding element as well. Got your Bible? Jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 briefly there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Tells us, Paul, in so many words, warns us not to be deceived. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and following. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit what? The kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Don't kid yourself. Boy, we're good at that, aren't we? We like to rationalize our behavior in many cases. People do it all the time, as if we were exceptions to the rule. Every time you rationalize something, you do exactly that. You tell rational lies about yourself or about that situation. It says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy. Boy, you may want to underline that word. I did in my Bible, because that's exactly what our culture promotes. Commercialism, materialism, greed. Nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that's stark, isn't it? That's to the point. Paul says, don't be deceived. Don't kid yourself. Not everyone will enter the kingdom of God. That's the bad news. You got to finish the verse, because here's the good news. And that's what some of you were. Corinthians, you live that way until that seed, that powerful message was internalized. and the Holy Spirit brought it to life within you. The kingdom arrived in your life. What happened next? Verse 11, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Wow. The kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth, good prayer. Why don't you personalize it in my life as it is in heaven? Now the mandate, and this really goes with our third premise here, I've called them imperatives, to live the life, to be the church, and extend the kingdom. The mandate, therefore, is to go. If you're carrying the contagion, then you're contagious. You need to infect others with the love of God, with His presence in your life, wherever you go. That's why Jesus gave the Great Commission, that mandate, to go into all the world, make disciples, to go and to preach the gospel to all creatures. Paul, in fact, picks up on that in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, we are His ambassadors, His representatives, and we are to implore people to be reconciled to Him, to turn to God. That's your assignment, and that's my assignment. That's our marching orders to extend the kingdom wherever you go. Boy, I don't know where you're going this week. Most of you do. Some of you aren't sure. But wherever you go, you carry the kingdom as a kingdom person. And you're an extension of the King to someone or several or to those that you connect with or contact. The kingdom of God. You know, last spring we did kind of an unusual thing. Read about it in a book, hadn't seen or ever heard of a church that did this. We tapped into a memorial fund, some 20 plus years of memorials that came into the church. Oftentimes when someone dies, you know, money's given to the church. It's designated towards something. The family determines, you know, we'd like this to go to the children's ministry. We'd like this to go to that, some fund. But frequently, it's not. And so we had undesignated monies, thousands of dollars. And we looked around and we asked ourselves, the church leadership did, what could we use this money for? Boy, unending the projects and possibilities. But Linda had handed me a book and I said, you know, I kind of like this guy's premise. He said, why don't we consider doing what they did out in California in this certain church? Let's employ our people to serve, not here. Let's take that money out into the community. Let's send people out with opportunity, a little bit of financial prowess or power to do something on someone else's behalf, the kingdom assignment. And you know what a neat opportunity. We had some 60 plus people sign up, $100 a piece. You can do the math to figure out what it ended up being. And the agreement, remember, was first of all, this isn't your money. This is God's money. You need to pray to God, number two, and ask Him, what can I do with this money on behalf of the kingdom? It's a kingdom assignment for somebody else's sake. And if you do and when you do, number three, here's where we're at today. We want to hear about it. What happened? I'd like to just take a moment here in the middle of the message, or in the finish, actually, of this message, and invite several of you just to come on down. And I'm in interview fashion, I'm just going to ask you a question. What happened and how did it go? Some of you are still in process. A few of you are still looking for that specific area that you can invest in, someone or something that you can reach out to with that money. But if you would, come on forward. I've asked a couple of you already. If you'd come on down just for a sec, come on up here. Don't be shy. And I want to ask you to report back. Just tell us a little bit about what you did, what happened as a result. Kingdom assignment there. And let's just be encouraged with ways that God used this to extend His kingdom. Come on up here. I won't bite. Jen, you can be first.
Um, In September a year ago, I had 2 heart attacks, and I survived. So I wanted to do something. It was on my heart to do something for in that area for other people who've gone through the same thing. And so I had shirts made. This is the shirt. The Beat Goes On, Heart Attack Survivor. And I had bracelets made. And I took baskets with the shirt and the bracelet and a letter to the heart cardiac rehab where I did my rehab. And I took, 6 or 7 of them there for them to pass out to whoever they thought needed them. And then I also passed out a couple to members in our community who had recently had heart attacks, and as well as a couple in our own church, including Everett. And it was a great blessing to me to deliver the ones to the people I knew in Bronson. When I delivered them, they said, you know, they needed that day, so it was a great blessing to me. And I was looking for a verse to put on the shirt and the bracelet, and when I looked on my Bible app, the verse of the day was Ezekiel 36:26, and it said, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you." So that's what I chose.
So mine is still in process, but my theory is, I'm a working mother, kids and lots of stuff, and women tend to not connect, I think, at this point in my life, and so I wanted to do that, and I also wanted to not have it just stop with the $100. So I have 3 people right now that we are going to hopefully get more diligent about meeting regularly just to talk and connect, and it's still all up in the air and in the works about a theme, maybe different theme for each time we get together. And then along with that, making small donations every time we get together, and then being kind of aware and looking for ways to use that money in the community. So the $100 went to our cross-country team this year. We're all mothers of that team. So that's our first donation, but we're going to be looking ongoing for ways to help in the community.
I live in Angola now at William Street Apartments, and right next to me is a homeless shelter called Turning Point. So I went there and asked them what they needed, and they gave me a list of things they needed, so I went and got them and took them there, and we got a brand new shelter for animals there around the corner. And I went there and asked them what they needed. So they told me, and I went and got them what they needed. And then Virginia, Linda Penn's mom, is on the other side of me in the retirement home, and I still go see her. She just had her 89th birthday, Friday, I believe it was, or Saturday. And I still go and see her. I bought her a little stuffed Easter bunny last year, a really soft one. She carried it wherever she went, and she just thought that was the neatest thing. And that's what I did with my $100.
As many of you are aware, my husband has struggled with cancer. And on his last chemotherapy treatment, his final one, all my kids gathered, and I went with him to Ann Arbor to celebrate his last treatment. And if anybody's familiar with infusion treatments of chemotherapy, only one person can go in when you have the infusion. So my daughter went in, and my other kids and I decided we'd go out and get a gift for Gary to celebrate his last treatment. So we were in the store, and all of a sudden my son tugged on this huge balloon. And he looked at it and laughed. He said, "Well, what about this, Mom?" And I looked at it and I said, "Are you kidding me? Who would buy that?" And as I looked at it, I realized it was a giant dragonfly. And then I realized and remembered the stories that Jim had preached about the dragonfly and how it represents change and transformation. And I said to myself, you know what, kids, God put that here for us to buy today because God has changed and transformed your dad's life. He's healed him. We bought that dragonfly and we took it to the hospital and we took pictures and came home. And when Jim talked about the kingdom of assignment, we decided that was going to be our assignment. So we purchased small dragonflies and we ran around to the community. My daughter is involved with a Bible study at Trine University. She took some there and we told people our story. And we asked them to put these dragonflies on their keychains and their plants just as a reminder that God can transform and change your life at any time just like he did ours.
Very good. Al, tell us your story.
Yeah, real quick, thank you for putting that to a normal person's height. Coach Joe Gibbs was an unbelievable NFL coach, I think three NFL titles. After he retired, he wound up getting in the NASCAR game, and I think he has three NASCAR Cup wins also, or championships, a huge NASCAR fan. I heard him speak. This is the book that he passed out in Fort Wayne a few years ago. And I invited a group, a gentleman, to hear him speak. So they heard him, and one guy just left his book and took off, wasn't really impressed. So I'm glad I invited the guys, my buddies, to listen, but I never really followed up. So what I did was I asked another buddy of mine for some advice, and he said, hey, look and see if this guy's got a follow-up book. And he does, and it's this. It's called Chalk Talks. So I took 85 of the 100, and I bought some of these. And right before a golf outing, I passed them out to two or three of my buddies. I said, hey, fellas, before we play, here's a follow-up from the Joe Gibbs thing. And a couple of them remembered, which was good. So I had about $15 left over. So what I did is I bought a handful of these, the Four Spiritual Law booklets, from the Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright, great gospel presentation or an easy way to share the gospel. And recently, my wife and I had a couple one buddy of mine and then his friend came to visit. And they were at our house. They stayed for two nights. So when they got up to leave that morning, catch their flight, I said, fellas, you guys are going to go. You're going to be on the airplane. You want some in-flight reading. Here you go. So I hit them with the Four Spiritual Law, book, each of them. Now, I didn't have the opportunity to share the whole gospel with them, but my one buddy who I knew from high school, I did have the opportunity to share one or two, points. So at least, I sowed some seeds there, so I hope, at least being obedient. So for me, this kingdom assignment has been an opportunity to connect with certain of my buddies or men who I need to be a little more diligent, I should say, about witnessing.
So. Yeah, very good. I tell you what, the trick with that is then you tell your friend you're going to pray for turbulence on the airplane until he reads the pamphlet, so make sure he reads it. Anybody else have one they want to share? Boy, we've got all kinds of stories to tell, just off the cuff. If not, we're going to take opportunity next door after coffee hour here. I'd like to meet with the adults before our dinner and just update on not only the kingdom assignment, because there's more to say on that, but a kingdom project that I'm going to call it, a phase two. And we're going to employ not individuals, but small groups this fall to determine themselves. What's a project, something bigger than perhaps we did this spring, that we as a group could organize and carry forth? And the church council has told me that they will fund, if there's a budget and it's reasonable, within reason, projects that you as a group or we as small groups can carry forth into the community. Why would we do that? In response to the king's mandate to extend the kingdom. That is, in fact, your marching orders and mine as Christians. Let me ask you as we close this morning, are you a citizen of the kingdom? Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is king of your life? Because if you're not sure, why not be sure? You can do that today. You can crown him king. you can acknowledge your need for a Savior. Stop kidding yourself. Remember, Paul said, don't be deceived. Sin will exclude people from the kingdom. Jesus came specifically to save sinners like you and I. That's the great news. And as I and as you wrangle with that reality and confess it to God, I'm lost without you. I need your salvation. I need a Savior. And you crown him king. To do that, you've got to take yourself off the throne. Because naturally, you and I assume that position. We supplant God, and we become demigods in our own mind. I call my own shot. It's my life. I can do what I want. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You never asked to be born. It was not your idea to be. You have been given life by God, and we are told clearly in Scripture that at the end of your life, you will be asked to account for it. So the first thing is to make sure you're clearly a citizen of the kingdom. Do you know without a matter of doubt that you belong to him? And then secondly, to extend the kingdom. Bethel Gilead Community Church, every member a minister. What a premise. What an ideal. That's what we're aspiring to be or to become. And we've set a deadline for December 2020. That's our 2020 vision. How could we do that? It starts with you and me individually living the Christian life first. Secondly, we come together to be the church, the kind of church that he designed us to be. And we're aspiring to do that. But then thirdly, we leave. We go out, as our mission statement says, commissioned to represent him in the community and beyond. Sharon Shirey mentioned at a small group this week, we ought to get a couple of those signs. Maybe you've been to a church that has them as you leave the parking lot. Attention, you are now entering your mission field. I love that. Bill, I need two. Big enough for people like me without glasses to read as they're leaving the parking lot. Attention, you are now entering your mission field. You've been co-missioned with Christ, participating with him in the greatest mission that ever hit this planet, to extend the kingdom. Don, why don't you come up, if you would, and finish us out with a song. Let me give you a moment as he's doing so to pray where you're seated. Why don't you ask the Lord if there's something specific he wants you to do, perhaps as a result of what you've heard today. If you know you're a believer, but you're not living like one, if you've not put first things first this week, if the kingdom of God is not obviously the top priority of your life, acknowledge that to him. Ask him to change that. I think he'd be glad to do just that. And if you've not extended the kingdom for whatever reason, I want to invite you to join me next door. We're going to follow up with exactly that. How can we do a better job as his representatives in our generation? Lord, we thank you for your word this morning and for an idea. It's an ideal. It's something that is beyond our ability to reach, but it's not up beyond yours. And so I pray for myself and I pray for my friends here this morning that you would energize us with this concept, this truth. The King from heaven has come to earth. And he's extending his rule, his reign through the hearts of men and women, boys and girls all over the planet. And you've invited us to join in such a good thing that you're doing. But more than that, now you want us to be change agents, not just consumers, but contributors to the cause. We can only do that, as we've already seen in Scripture, through the power of your Spirit. And so we commend ourselves into your power. We pray that you would prompt us, even as we leave today, that Monday through Saturday, in the world out there, we represent you. Ambassadors, Paul called us. of the King. Not just any king and not just any kingdom, but the King of Kings and the eternal kingdom of our Savior and God. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the 29th in the series, Design for Life. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. I also encourage you to send this message to a friend in need. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.